Hello, I'm William English, and this is Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. Today's program features an edited interview with Yann Bové, experimental filmmaker and co-founder with Miles McCain of Scratch Projection and Lightcone, a Paris-based distributor of experimental films established since 1982. The following edited tape was recorded in a Paris restaurant in 1989.
I've been involved in films since 75 or 74. I was writing a master about film, and then I discovered that that maybe there was other way to making films than the classic.
Where were you writing the master?
For Nanterre University.
Nanterre?
I was studying philosophy and I was doing my, not PhD, but the one before, I can't remember. A kind of PhD, not really.
So how does... philosophy, how do you get from philosophy to film?
It was just I was interested about a certain philosophy, which was the one of Nietzsche, Spinoza, so the one which is called the philosophy of desire.
Desire?
Yeah,
right.
Around desire, which is in opposition towards classical philosophy.
Yeah.
And I love to study image.
Yeah.
And as I wanted to study image which were involved in time, I went on film.
Mm-hmm. And do you think there's some connection between image and desire maybe?
I'm just giving you the pattern, yeah. I don't know.
But in retrospect, I think.
It's possible to make any type of imagery. Mm-hmm. Like Mondrian doesn't make any design. With his work, but some of the painter will make image of design. It's not so much the content itself than the what is on the aim, what's the object of the search or the research. So I was doing philosophies and I dropped progressively, but slowly I knew that I was going to make films. So I choose always all my stuff were about film.
Yeah. This was just a natural interest in, I mean, you saw a lot of films or...
Yeah, I used to go 6 or 7 times a week to film, at least. Watching anything.
Yeah.
But not so much experimental film because I didn't know so much. I never heard of it. And as I was also a lot interested by abstract painting and music, I thought maybe it will be possible to do something which will be visual music. So films.
Yeah. And what sort of films were you seeing at that time?
All the films which were done, a lot of political films, militant film from France after... It was all of that was after 68, around 74, 75, so there was a lot of political film. And Nanterre was the place where May 68 started. So there was quite a lot of movement, agitation. But everyone moved to Vincennes after another university. So I was seeing a lot of film, and one day by chance, so the man with the movie camera, I think, and maybe a Jonas Mekas, Diaries, Not and Sketches.
What's that one?
Diaries, Not and Sketches by Jonas Mekas. I saw.
Oh, right.
By chance. Like that, it was like, okay, they were doing another type of film, but then I realized that I wanted to do other imagery than the one I was seeing. So I went and made them. And then I was scared that I was the only one to do this type of things. So I had to dig and find if there was other people making films like that. And I discovered there was people making them.
Did you get your own equipment then?
I bought second hand for really cheaply a camera, and that's it.
What was the 16mm?
16mm camera. Then
Paillard
Bolex, non reflex, that you rewind like that. Very cheap. Someone lend me or gave me a black and white 100-foot reel, and I made my first film. Oh no, that was the second film, because the first one I drew on it. I drew on it my master, my thesis in some ways.
Oh yeah.
With words, I synthesized my thesis into I think 25 words. Yeah. Which arrive like that and play on words.
Right.
I colored and then play. Then I shot a film.
Was it accepted as? I mean, the teachers or whatever, would they encourage you to get involved in film as a philosophy course? Or was
they
it something you did completely?
They were hoping that I was going to stop philosophy and making image, because I couldn't stand philosophy.
Oh.
And I was always destroying it like that, discreetly, with always some stuff which conceptually old, but which were like... I was always attacking the system of philosophy as a system. That was the time at that time. There was Deleuze, Derrida and those people, so I was following this type of things. Then I made my first film, which is called Air, which was a transcription of a Bach fugue for one screen. And 4 years ago, I finally did what I wanted to do, which was a twin screen in mirror of the same film. Then I went and started making film only.
So when you said transcription, did you have you got the musical score and maybe converted notes into...
Notes were equivalent of one frame.
Yeah.
And it was based on an angle. So I was taking shots from angles. Yeah. And so when I had a C or a D, I was going there or there. So I was playing like a keyboard. It was very basic, but the film is extremely powerful. In twin screen too. And I'm still working on a four screen version of that film, with completing the back fugue. That was in 78, and from 1980. But I was not too involved with the milieu in France, because it was nightmarish. People were fighting all the time.
Within film groups?
Within film groups. There was two cooperatives. They were always fighting. It was quite heavy.
Really? What? Was it political fighting or just...
Anything you can imagine was possible. There was a lot of filmmaking, really a lot at those times. A huge movement of Super 8 from 75 to 80, which was, I don't know, there were festival of and after festival. All of those films have never been really seen outside. But some of the work which is done in England since 84, 85, and the same in the States, were the same, but 10 years later in some ways. Or those ones were maybe made 10 years before. A different liberation front, gay movement, we were creating gay newspaper. Then it went on creating a gay radio, so there was quite a lot of militantism about that in some ways. Showing image or films, gay film festivals, where there was a traditional film and experimental film, gay films. I don't like churches. So I'm always...
always on the fringe.
Yeah, helping a lot even. For 2 years I've worked for the GIF paper, which was really... I like to start things and then go somewhere else after a while.
Were there any influential teachers at Nanterre at the time? Anyone that you might have?
I never took any film course.
No. What about philosophy?
Yes, that's...
I might be completely wrong, but was Baudrillard, Jean Baudrillard, was he in Nanterre?
Yeah, I went one day at following one of his lessons. I saw the guy, how he was acting, and I said, okay, that's it, I will never read any more line of you.
Really?
Which I have done. I thought it was quite...
Funny?
There's quite a lot of expression, but... using and abusing things from the Situationist and Nietzsche, and taking glory from things that he was not managing too well. He's a figure I know in England or in the States. I don't think he's really interesting. But he was a very strange person. All the work was done by his student. And that shocked me. And so he was teaching there. That's
true.
It's a tradition in France. You ask pupils or students to make research about something, and then the teacher, from the research, he has got all his base, then he can publish his book.
No, that's accepted. That's just a known thing.
Yeah, but I was a bit naive. That shocked me.
So he was the students like researchers?
Yeah, like... but everyone does it more or less. More or less. No, he was not... I was more interested by Foucault and by Deleuze than by Baudrillard. It's a bit... It's going to sound very stupid, but I was, like a lot of people of my age, here in France, or as Parisian, maybe we were, and as gay, we were students, or not students, but we were the son of a certain epoch where there was new philosophy, new liberation movement, but we were not at the base of it. We arrived on the market, if I could say, 4 or 5 years later than the people who made 68 or... So a lot of things were had been a bit open.
So can I ask how old you are? Do you mind saying when you were...
35, yeah.
So I
was 14.
14.
Yes. So it's not a lot of difference, but it makes a huge difference. A lot of things had been opened by
so
others.
See it's all going on, but
yeah. And everything was free for us in some ways. We could do a lot. So film was one of the things where you could express. But I knew that I was going to make film since so many times that it didn't matter in some ways which time. What I wanted was something where I could denounce power, because I'm a bit like against some institution of power. But I rebel often against authority or... So in 1980 I thought the scene was so bad that I was going to take all my film out of France and put them maybe either in England, either in the States, but stop being involved in France.
So how many films did you make by this time?
Roughly, which I was distributing, maybe 7 or 8.
So this was by what, 1980?
Yeah.
And you've made 7 or 8 films?
That I was maybe...
And
yeah,
they were
that
in,
I was distributing.
In one of the Paris co-ops?
Yeah.
Were they both called the Paris co-op?
No, they were in the Paris Film Co-op, and the other one was the Collectif Jeune Cinéma, and they were at the Paris Film Co-op.
Collectif Jeune Cinéma,
which is the place that we've took over.
Right.
To.
So those are the two places for experimental film?
Yeah, there was a third one which has been put briefly by... more anarchist type of people, but it stayed 1 or 2 years, not even.
And what was that called? Just
that was La Coopérative des Cinéastes, where there was a lot of English involved at that time.
So you'd And do you know roughly how long these co-ops have been going?
It's Collective Gen Cinema starts in 72. Yeah, no. Maybe 72 or 73. Paris Film Corps 75. And the other one in 78 and 79. So I thought it was pretty bad in some ways. For the filmmaker, there was too many fights with university people which were trying to dominate all the scenes. That I can't cope with those type of... And I thought filmmakers were not speaking with themselves, or a little group, but not across. If you were doing structural film, you couldn't talk to someone who was doing like diary film, or who was doing body art film, or expressionist film. Or, no, it was impossible. You were fighting, but not talking. So it was, in some ways, I thought it was quite bad.
And I thought your films at that time, would you categorize them anyway, or were you too?
I will still say that I'm always doing very formal film on one side and a totally opposite one like Amoroso on the other side. So I was doing maybe quite heavy conceptual film at that time more, and then sometimes one little. little things which was totally against that.
Okay, so the co-op, and you got fed up with the co-op situation.
And I was not the only one. I felt that other people were fed up too, but it seems that everyone was complaining, but no one was going to start to do something. So maybe I thought, why not trying to do something? We would see. And with Miles, we set up with the caution, if I could say, of Rose, because she gave us immediately her film. We set
with
up.
The what of Rose? Co-options, you said?
No, not
caution.
Cooperation. We set up Lightcone because she wanted to. She was in the same situation as me. She didn't want to have her film anymore in France because. We had problem. We were mentioned in catalog, but never exhibit. But mentioned as important filmmaker. A bit stupid things. And also there was strange things about how the co-op were running. So I decided to start a co-op that we called that Miles found the name Lightcone. And I thought that was very good to have a French co-op called Lightcone. We set up the system ourselves. First year we start with 20 films. We start with 20 films. Then second year I think we had 50. And there was one or two where they were upset that we obtained those films. Then we start scratch. And we start making exhibitions. The film.
And you named that a different thing. You had a Lightcone of distribution, scratches, screening,
and it was a magazine too.
Right.
So people laughed too. A magazine, a white bilingual magazine.
And when did the first magazine come out?
1982, I think. I have to look.
What?
I think it was that, 1982 or 83. Or maybe 83.
Yeah, so
schematically we said, okay, we have started a cooperative, now we have to find a place maybe where to show films. And if we want to show film, it will be interesting that people can write or read about it. That's why we were logic with ourselves, but we were not. We have not realized what it means in some ways. So, and then we studied a bit how it was working or not working in different co-op. So I learned stuff from London co-op, from different other co-op, New York co-op. I have to confess my first meeting with the London co-op. Fortunately, I was perseverant in some ways because otherwise I don't think I'm...
I think everyone...
It was quite upsetting. People were quite shocked. I came from France specially for that, and then they asked me to come a week later.
When was it? This was the 1980s?
It was around 1980. Yeah. They were. Yeah. So it was quite charming. We learned, we thought that we should try to be not, we should try to be democratic for the filmmaker, but authoritarian as a direction, which is a paradox in some ways, but because we thought if we look what's happening to London in some ways, that was our analyze, mine and Miles mostly.
Yeah.
Each 2 years or 3 years, there was a shift of people who were running the things. Mm-hmm. But usually, some of those people didn't know anything about the films. So when someone was ringing, what is there about film around, I don't know, black or around water on a painting? We don't know.
Right.
It seems necessary to have someone in distribution who knew a bit about films.
Yeah.
Not to impose his choice, but who knew at least what he was distributing. Mm. Mm. It's not necessary that he or she is a filmmaker. That's not a...
Right.
And then we thought that in the States there was Leslie at the New York Cop, but the principles were too heavy sometimes.
Did you go to New York?
Yeah.
And you observed the New York Co-op. Did you manage to... I mean, how were you received there?
I just asked. I was quite shy, so I asked little things sometimes. And at the beginning, a lot of people were telling us how to do things.
And you were just working from... Obviously, you were just working from home or something. You had a flat, right, with the... And that would be your base. I remember Rose saying that you used to have all the films sort of under your bed, and that would be the kind of...
Yes, there were some times where we were living on 9 meters square and all the film was there. But still, we were checking the film. There was no dust in the film. We were very cautious about... Then we start. We thought that Lightcone, the French film, should be known a bit abroad. So I start to tour with a package of French films.
Yeah. Right. Have your own, the ones in like...
Yeah, a French filmmaker only, just to show that in France there was film. So,
I have to ask, I mean, you don't have to answer this, but I mean, I have to ask how you managed to finance that, I mean, to go on tour with a bunch of...
Myself, I went there.
But you...
That was myself. I've always paid all my trip, either making economy, either...
But you work for a short time to pay for this, or...
Yeah, I was sometimes working at the post office for 6 months and then...
Right. And then you'd stop work, having to save for the money.
I have never had a trip paid, once by London Filmmakers Corps, because I was bringing, 36 films, so they paid me my trip.
So you just set off with a bit of money and some films, you'd kind of go, having contacted the people before.
Yeah, by letter. And also it's so cute that it, abroad, some people have been very important, like Malcolm LeGrise, Paul Sharitz in the States, and then Robert Breer. Yeah. Those people have been... Malcolm LeGrise was the first one who said... He met us, Miles and I, and he quite appreciated us as a human beings. He said, okay, you will be the first one to have my film in France. Before he didn't want. He was a friend of Rose, so she introduced. And that was a good caution, because in a tiny little cop to have Malcolm LeGrise, who was known internationally, and then some shared film, other cops thought, uh-oh, what's going on there? And it was just, we had, I don't think, I've never played the power, the lift game with people. If I like some people, it's not for that reason that I will show their film automatically. It's have nothing to do, in fact. But I was frank and they were believing in us, maybe.
That was an edited interview with Jan Bove, experimental filmmaker and co-founder with Miles McCain of Scratch Projection and Light Cone, a Paris-based distributor of experimental films established since 1982. The tape was recorded in a Paris restaurant in 1989.
I've been involved in film since 75 or 74.